So if you're ready, Chris, now I want you to turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 16. I want to deal with you simply this morning. Well, we're going to be looking at the subject and the topic of in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus Christ. I also want to say very quickly, and I thank all of you that were involved in what I'm about to say, but I received several texts this week. I made an announcement last week about where the Lord was leading me, and I let the subject, part of the subject matter come out on broken, being broken, and I received several texts with insights and other thoughts of interest of things that they had heard in the past on that subject. Just two things. One, I really misstated. It's not that I've never heard the subject of broken before, but what the Lord's doing with me with it. I've never heard the vein. Let me say it that way. I've never heard of the vein, he said, and is leading me into. But I do appreciate it because some of the insight that I received from the text that came in, I probably never would have received. I would have never looked at those passages. And there are useful thoughts and useful things in them passages. So I appreciate all those that were engaged and involved in doing things of that matter. And I also want you to know that, you know, everything, unless I say different, everything I share, other than Wednesday nights, Wednesday's going to be a different subject, but everything I share is leading to this one topic. We're going to grow into it. Oh, Lord, help me. Well, I'll just leave it there. We're going to grow into it. But it's not going to happen because I speak it. It's not going to happen because Pastor Anna shares insights and encourages us. It's not going to happen because Pastor Leon does things, or even Sister T, if you can imagine that. That is not going to happen because of her. It's going to happen based upon our response to what God's Word says to us. Now, for a couple months ago, I just hit and hammered the subject of the Word of God. And I knew when that Word started taking root, I know that Word is there with you now, it's in you now, and I know it's going to come back up. But please, 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 never hesitate to respond to what the Lord is doing. Pastor Anna said it again this morning. If the Lord's dealing with you in the middle of a service, don't wait till we're finished to come to the altar. If he's dealing with you on something and you feel the need to go pray, come to the altars. They're open. You're not going to bother me or interfere with me or anybody else. But you don't want to miss what the Lord is cooking. Let me just say it that way. But in John chapter 16, two verses, verse 23 and 24, this is Christ speaking to his disciples. He says, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing." In that day is now, since his ascension. He said, "In that day you shall ask me nothing. But truly I say unto you," here we go, "whatever you ask the Father," read that out loud with me, "whatever you ask the Father," say it again, "whatever you ask the Father," it's important, "in my name," he said, "he will give it to you." Verse 24, "Up to this time or hitherto, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive." Why? And that's one of those buzzwords for this year. Trust and joy. The return of trust and joy. The Lord is telling us right here how we can have joy back in our hearts and back in our lives. Now, I want to say quickly to preface this. Prayer not answered. You know, how many of you have prayed a prayer and you've not yet had the answer? I have. I've got two of them that I know of that I prayed and I haven't had the answer. But I want you to know this. Prayer that's not answered is not always a sin issue. As a matter of fact, most of the time, for most of us, it's not a sin issue. Most of the time, or sometimes, it's a procedure issue. We're not doing it right. We've got things turned. The procedure is twisted. And we've got to follow the procedure. Something will offer me the prescription that the Lord tells us to take. We've got to follow the prescription, the order of the prescription. Now, John 16, 23 raises an important issue concerning prayer. And that is this. Prayer is to be offered. I don't know where that word came from. Prayer is to be offered to God. We pray to the Father. Period. Other passages, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, speaks about speaking to God. Chapter 5, verse 20, talks about praying to God. Philippians 1, 3 talks about offering prayer to God. Philippians 4, verse 6, where he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Make your request known to God. And this is important because that's the procedure. And you'd be surprised how many people, ministers included, don't follow the procedure. And therefore, things don't take place. There's more than enough scripture that teaches us that prayer is to be offered to the Father. However, we are to pray. How? In the name of Yeshua. We pray in the name of Jesus, but we're praying to the Father. We're not praying to Jesus. We're praying to the Father in Jesus' name. Now, ask the Father in my name, Yeshua said, and here's how he goes, basically just taking that out of biblical course. He said, ask the Father in my name, and I will endorse that. And that's where it comes in. I will endorse it, and my Father will grant it to you. If you, ask in my name. He said, ask in my name, and the Father will manifest it to you. The things that you prayed for. Now, this phrase, ask in his name, it brings a question to mind. And here's the question, because I need a drink. When do we gain access to his name? Anybody got an idea? Before I give you the intro, I'll do it this way. Bean, Sister T, as well as any of your other wives, she has legal right to sign my name to a document. I can't sign her name, but she can sign my name. Now, my wife and I met March 10th, 1977. 2 years later, after I came out of the penitentiary, we got married. The day that we stood before an altar and exchanged vows, And we made the commitment to be married together. At that moment, my wife received access to my name. Not while we were dating, although our dates were visiting hours on Saturday, but not while we were dating, but when we made that commitment to each other. And see, there's a lot of people in the church, they're just dating the Lord. You've got to make that commitment in order to gain access to His name. And it's powerful. Let's go. I've got a lot of places I want to read from, short places, so you may not need to. But listen to this in John chapter, listen to these passages. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, He will do it. In chapter 15, and verse 16, he said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and I've ordained you that you should go forth and bring and bear fruit. That you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Watch it. For whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. In John 16, verse 23 and 24, we just read it. If you ask anything in my name, he said, the Father will give it to you. And he's going to do it so you can get your joy back. That was a finger pointer, at least. Now, something a lot of people don't know is that these scriptures I just read, the strength of the language used in those five verses indicate that Jesus Christ gave unto us, committed believers, He gave unto us the power of attorney. Does everybody understand what the power of attorney is? Now, well, he gave us the power of attorney in using his name. He gave us the right to do it. Now, according to the legal definition behind, and I need to read because I have his memorized, behind the term power of attorney, the legal definition, according to my daughter's law dictionary, because she has one because she works with a bunch of lawyers, and that's what she went to school for. But according to her law dictionary, the definition of power of attorney is this. It is the legal right or authority to act on behalf of the empowering source. So, the empowering source is Yeshua. And He is given to us, the committed. And I want to make that part real, real strong. Because you're not committed because you don't ever miss church on Sunday. You might be committed to the church, but that we're not called to be committed to the church. We should be in church every time we can get there. But our commitment should be to Him. The church did not die for me, and the church did not shed His blood for me. He did. Huh? Oh, again, I don't know if you get lost sometimes, just watch me. I'm not Him. I'm part of Him. No, I'm only playing. I meant to apologize to you for that for last week. Now then, and I'm telling you, what I'm sharing today is important on where we're going and how we're going to get there. Because of this, when we get there, we're going to be well all around when we get there. Now, where was that? Oh, the value of the power of returning. The value of that is dependent upon how much authority the empowering source has to back it up. I believe, unless they've changed something, I believe my wife has power of returning over her mother's estate. Now, it's not that it's a massive amount of wealth or anything, but she has power of attorney over the things that my mother-in-law will be leaving behind. We are given power of attorney based on, well, I'm getting twisted. I don't know why I'm getting twisted. This is easy stuff. Maybe that's what it is. My sister had a problem in the office praying, and she was going right over this whole subject, and she kept stuttering a little bit here and there, which is not normal for her. But the power of attorney is dependent upon how much authority, let's say it this way, that Jesus Christ has. Now, how much power, how much authority does he have? Huh? All right. Let's look at what the scripture says. John chapter 17, verse 2. You have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given unto him. Verse 18 of chapter 17. And as you have sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. Verse 22 says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as you and I are one. In short, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, has been given power and authority over everything. Everything. There is nothing that he has not been given by God power of eternity over. His name is above all names. At the very mention, and this is another thing we don't focus on, particularly for dealing with demonic. You need to focus on this point when you're dealing with it. We are told that at the mention of the name of Christ, every single knee will bow. But it's not just then, it's here. At the mention of his name, all things must bow or cower down. At the mention of his name, everything must respond. Why? He has power of eternity over everything. And he's given us his power of eternity. Attorney. I'm getting mixed up in my words. Watch this. This is something you know, but I'm going to teach you anyway. It's interesting to note that the very first thing Yahweh gave to man, according to Genesis 1:26, the very first thing God gave to man was what? He gave him dominion or authority over what? Everything. It's the very first thing God gave man. Now, also interestingly to note is that the last thing that Yeshua gave to believers prior to his ascension, the last thing he gave them was power or authority. It's the first thing God gave, it's the last thing he gave. We were made for this. We were built for this. We were created for this purpose, to have dominion, to have the authority to function in this earth in His name. Slide over to Matthew chapter 18. And I think I gave this, yeah, I know I gave this one to Sam because I gave him the wrong text. But, so we'll bring it up, right? Yeah, okay. Look at verses 18 through 20. Where am I at? Matthew 18. Verily I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Am I reading it right? Yeah. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, because a lot of people don't catch this, the actual phrase of that in the Hebrew and Greek is, whatever you bind in heaven is already bound. Whatever you loose on earth is already loosed. It's not going to be. It's a done deal. Again, I say unto you, verse 19, that if two of you shall agree as touching anything, as touching what? Anything. That they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together, what? In what? In His name. There He said, I am. In the midst of them. Now, remember what I said in opening? The problem with unanswered prayer is not always a sin issue. It's this procedure. We're not following the procedure. It amazes me how many people still think that praying what has been called the Lord's Prayer out of Matthew 6, of our Father which art in heaven, it amazes me how many people still think that if you just simply quote that, you did it. That's not so. Christ gave a 6-point outline. Said, when you pray, in other words, let these things be what you're focused on. Now, if you look, it covers everything. But it's not necessarily just saying those words. Just like in the name of Jesus, it's not a phrase that guarantees you everything. Praying in His name is praying in His person. And right here, He helps us with them. Because basically He tells us that wherever He is, so is His person. Notice what He said. There I am in the midst. Other ways of saying it. There I am in the middle of the gathered assembly. Or it also means inside. There I am inside. And here's where the whole power of attorney kicks in. If you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, you've made that commitment, then He is in us. And when we pray, we are in His person because His person is in us. That was a sucky sucky. You guys are falling asleep here. I need to take a nap this afternoon. I might listen to this. It's working for everybody else. Now, but technically speaking, asking for something in His name, basically, it means to decree or to declare a thing as prompted by the mind of Christ or prompted by the Holy Spirit. Now, watch this. Slide over to Romans chapter 8. Interesting thing comes to us up in here, if I can find it. Yeah, Romans 8. Again, very familiar passage of Scripture, but we use it anyway. Verses 26. Where's verse 26? There we go. Verses 26 through 28. Paul teaching the church at Rome says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. In other words, he's saying, sometimes we don't know what to ask, how to ask. But watch what happens when that time comes. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, that one part there, he talks about the infirmities. That is dealing with the fact that I come to this place, that I am surrounded or encompassed by trials and trouble. You ever been there? So what do we do when we get there? Because we may not know how to properly pray when we get in that situation. But when we pray as guided or prompted by the Holy Spirit, and I know what Paul said there, but I also know this. Prompted by the Holy Spirit, whether in your prayer language or your unknown language that you speak, or your natural language. Believe me, I've done both, and I've got the same results. I have prayed in the Holy Spirit with my prayer language, my language that I don't understand naturally. I've prayed led by the Holy Spirit in my natural language. The results are all the same. The Spirit knows how to guide my mouth and how to guide my mind so to tell my mouth what to say. Don't let yourself be caught up in all the other things. Because when we are prompted by the Holy Spirit, regardless of what is taking place in or around us, we know with absolute certainty that everything is going to work out for us. It's going to happen. Because the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to state our case before God sitting upon the throne. He knows exactly how to do it, church. When words exit your mouth, directed to the Holy Spirit, directed by the Spirit, guess what's going to happen? Manifestation is going to take place. Now, let's say that. In my name, Christ said, in my person. Now, in his person is also in his Spirit. Because that's how his person is alive in us. And the Spirit knows how to pray effectively and accordingly to whatever the situation is. Now let's go back to John's gospel. John informs us that Christ not only gave us the legal right of his name in prayer, but he also states that the prayer prayed in his name will be given favorable consideration. It'll receive special attention. How many of you are grandparents? How many of you know that your grandchildren, when they come to you, they get special attention? My son and daughter sometimes look at me and say, where were you when I was little? You know, and I tell them, well, for you guys, it was a trial. Trial and error we had to work with. We know how to work with them now. We know how to deal with the grandchildren. Now, they get special attention. You can be feeling low. You can be feeling down and out. And your grandchild walks in the door. All of a sudden, everything changes. Why? Because they get your special attention. That's what God gets. When you come prompted by the Spirit, you get special attention. You get favorable attention. What a comforting promise. I don't know if it does for you, but it helps me. However, many people have failed to understand this truth. And when they do, they start adding things that Christ never said. I don't know how many people I've heard say things such as, God will answer if it's His will, but it might not be His will. Let me tell you something. If that stuff's coming out your mouth, you ain't not being prompted by the Holy Spirit. And this is one of my old-time favorites. Other people conclude that sometimes God says yes. Sometimes Yahweh says no. Sometimes He says later. Now, I said earlier, there's two prayer requests that I have made, private requests to the Lord. I have saw an extremely portion of one of those requests take place. The other one I haven't seen at all, and I'm talking years. But I never stood up and said, well, this is where God says later. All I know is God said, if you pray according to my will, it's done. It can be 5, 10, 15, 20 years, but it's done. It's taking place. It's going to happen. Because the Lord said, if we ask anything in His name, the Father will favorably respond to that prayer, period. Exclamation point. Not a question mark. If I follow the procedure, just like the Word says, then the results are going to be exactly as the Word of God said. One more place and then we'll close. Slide over to Mark chapter 16. I think this one's coming up on the board also. I'm dropping everything here. Mark chapter 16. Again, I keep saying it, but it's true. Very familiar passage for most of us. Pick up at verse 15. Christ speaking, and He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Here's where we stop dating and we're committed. Now, I'm not even going to cover that. But he that believes not shall be damned. Now watch this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. The question is, how many of us believe? Out of that belief, this should be happening. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. You know, a lot of people say Christ never talked about speaking in tongues. Yes, He did right there. And they said, but He only talked at one time. That's enough for me. I know what a lot of people think because of what they said in the Old Testament. You had to have two or three witnesses to everything. That ain't got nothing to do with God's Word. That has to do with you making an accusation against me. You can't just come up and accuse me of something. You've got to have two or three witnesses according to the Word. God don't have to have two or three witnesses. He said it one time, nothing for me. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents. And also he said, this shall follow me. This is not something I'm dealing with. I've been in the communities where they practice this. I don't know how many doorway exits I made through walls, but me and this pick up serpent stuff don't work. And it's not what they done with it. Then he said, if you drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. I recently saw a program about it was one of these murder things. But how'd it go? Meet Mary Murder. That was the show. Meet, a couple meets, they get married, one of them gets murdered. You ever see it? There's one where, I think it's that program, but it's in that line. There's one where they meet and they marry, and shortly after the marrying, the wife decides she's going to do away with the husband and get his money. She starts feeding him antifreeze through the drinks that he drank. And she would give him the antifreeze. Got very sick, real sick, after a period of time. But he wouldn't die. Yeah, they couldn't. He was in the hospital for days. He wouldn't die. And the hospital noted that whenever she came to see him in the hospital, he got worse. And whenever she was absent, he was better. And that's how they found out what she was doing with his drinks. And what they mentioned but don't focus on was this man was a strong, born-again believer. And if the church they show on TV was his church, he was a member of the Assembly of God, which is our sister church denomination. That's what Christ said. Anybody ever see, what's his name? Oh, man. Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom, where they try to force feed him poison with that skull they poured down his throat, but he didn't die. That's what Christ is talking about. They force you to drink deadly stuff, had no effect on you. But then he said, they will lay hands on the sick. And what? They might show up and recover? If I'm in a good mood that day, they'll recover. If you ain't messed up and blown it that day, he said they will recover. Christ reveals the weight of the authority given to us right there by using his name. He tells us that we can use his name to expel and to eject and to thrust out any demonic activity going on around us. And several other things there we read. But he also said at the end, lay hands on the sick. Lay hands on the ill. Do it with the expectation that they will regain their health. And that's what's going to happen. Church, it's all done according to the procedure that we come to the Father and we do it in the person of Jesus. of the Son. I want you to stand with me, if you will. Oh, goodness gracious. Gotta be a new way to do that. I don't know where you go, so. Church, I really want to encourage you, please. Start following the procedure, and you'll receive the manifestation. Father, I ask you right now to cement our souls with this message that is beginning to launch us into new areas. And Lord, let your word be rooted solidly. And let each of us not only depend upon our pastors and teachers to lead us, but let us also go home, spend time in your word, and learn for ourselves things that are new and different. And we'll give you praise and honor. And I've asked now, Father, that the grace and peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ would rest upon each of us as we depart the sanctuary, but never your presence, and bring us back to the next appointed time. In Christ's name, amen. And I remind you, if you stay in the word, it'll keep you from worrying. God bless you.